Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Appreciate you hanging out with us today. We survived that crazy week last week with free agency just taking the league and like shaking it up like a snow globe. And that forces us to rethink our outlooks for almost every player, which I did. I updated my redraft rankings. I updated my dynasty trade value charts. You can check all those out over at the Score. There's links to it on my Twitter page too. I'm at Justin Boone on there. I also have the free agent index updated, so you can still see the top skill position guys on the market. All the fantasy depth charts are updated, so you can see where I think players land on their new rosters. We did three podcasts last week, you know, went over all my takeaways for the different moves that happened. It's also important to remember that the offseason isn't close to being done. So while we're having these takes about players right now, there's still a lot that could change. There's still a few players out there on the trade market, like Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins. Not sure if either of those guys are actually going to get dealt, but there's lots of rumors that have been circling about them. We also still have some free agents remaining, some guys that could impact depth charts. None of the real big names are still out there, but there are some guys available that I'm sure we will get excited about when they do sign somewhere. I mean, we saw my guy Deonta Foreman sign with the Browns this week. Very nice signing in case Nick Chubb isn't ready for week one. And Foreman, he could have some fantasy value, especially early in the season, either as a Chubb replacement or more likely in a committee with Jerome Ford. So we'll see where some of the other free agents end up over the next stretch. And then we're going to get to the draft and we're going to have another huge shakeup with all these rookies coming into the mix. So today I'm going to go over the biggest risers after free agency and we're going to focus on the AFC only. And then Friday we're going to hit on the biggest risers for the NFC. But keep in mind, these situations are fluid and we could see them shift again, especially when the draft rolls around. But let's start with the AFC risers list. Got a lot of players to get through. Some of them I did talk about last week, so we'll try to go quickly through them. And really, we could start anywhere, but why not start with my Buffalo Bills? And I have three risers for the Bills. One is James Cook. He's the biggest riser by far on that team. And Buffalo hasn't brought in another back yet. So at the moment, it's Cook. It's Ty Johnson, who they re-signed, and Darrington Evans. And that means that we are probably going to see them sign a vet or draft somebody. There's no way that they're going to go into the season with that as the running back depth chart. But like I said earlier, there's not that many big names left on the market. And at running back, the only real guy of note is Ezekiel Elliott. And it's not a great draft class for running back. So Cook's in position now to really challenge for a top 12 fantasy spot again. I mean, he was the RB11 from week 11 on last year after Joe Brady took over as the offensive coordinator. So Cook is a riser. So are Dalton Kincaid and Curtis Samuel on the Bills. And this is going to depend on whether Buffalo drafts a receiver early or not. But Kincaid is in that very enviable position that we look for. Can a fantasy tight end be the de facto number two pass catcher on the offense? And right now, Kincaid would be that guy behind Stephon Diggs. And then for Samuel, I went over on one of last week's shows, but he had his best season of his career with Joe Brady in Carolina back in 2020 when Brady was the offensive coordinator there. So I still think the Bills are going to add to this receiver room, but Kincaid, Samuel, they get bumps up for now. And then if we stick in the AFC East for a second, regardless of what you think of Aaron Rodgers, and I know some of the comments off the field people don't agree with, but the guy is getting what he wants in New York. The Jets addressed the offensive line. Specifically, they got him two new tackles and Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses. Very strong pieces if those guys can stay healthy. And they signed Mike Williams to step into that number two receiver role. So to start the season, Rodgers is going to have a healthy Breece Hall in the backfield, much better blocking in front of him, and a pass-catching core that has Garrett Wilson, who I think can be a superstar receiver, Big Mike Williams, Alan Lazard, if he doesn't get traded, he's been rumored to be out there in trade talks, Xavier Gibson, Ty Conklin, Jeremy Ruckert, and they might not be done. They've been linked to tight end Brock Bowers in the first round, so who knows if that's going to happen, but it is clear that the Jets are giving Rodgers everything he needs to succeed, and it makes him more of an intriguing QB2 and more of an intriguing fantasy QB2 with some upside. I doubt that he's going to crack the top 12. I mean, quarterbacks like him have to throw just for a ton of touchdowns or a ton of yards in order to get up there into that top 12 conversation. But this is looking like a very enticing offense for fantasy. And then another riser that I talked about last week, Derrick Henry joining the Ravens. And I mentioned that, you know, the wheels at some point are going to come off for Henry. Some of his efficiency stats, they have been declining in recent years, but he was also behind a really bad offensive line in Tennessee recently. Now he's going to Baltimore, where he is just going to be in a great spot to produce. And if you don't believe me, I mean, just look at the touchdown totals for the Ravens backs last year. 20 rushing touchdowns from the running backs alone, and that's not even including the 5 rushing touchdowns that Lamar Jackson had. So Henry has an excellent chance to post double-digit touchdowns, and as long as he can stay healthy, he's going to be a top 15 fantasy back in that offense and maybe even an RB1 for fantasy. Now, let's jump around the AFC North a little bit here. Go over to the Browns. Deshaun Watson, he's got to be a riser in my opinion. The Browns added another pass catcher for him in Jerry Jeudy. They must feel like Jeudy has some talent to unlock here too, because they traded for him and then they gave him a surprisingly big contract. And I know Watson hasn't really looked great in real life, but his fantasy stats were fine last year when he was on the field. If you just take the 5 games that he played, you remove the one where he left early due to injury, he averaged 18.3 fantasy points per game, and that would have made him the QB15, which is where I have him in my rankings. And I think there's room for more there too if Jeudy can help this offense. Now, I'm also adding his new teammate, Deonta Foreman, to the risers list, because he could have signed somewhere else where he just would have been a depth piece. But I think going to Cleveland with Nick Chubb coming off a very serious knee injury, an ACL and an MCL, there's no guarantees that he's going to be ready early in the season, or really that he's going to be himself at all in 2024, right? We've seen these backs come back from ACL and MCL tears and really struggle to regain their form the next season. And Foreman, he's produced when he's been given starter snaps the last few years. So whether he's splitting with Jerome Ford, which, like I said, I think is probably the most likely scenario, or if they just give Foreman a chance to step into that Nick Chubb role, I like this landing spot for him. Now, next on my risers list, 3 Steelers: George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth, and Jaylen Warren. And yes, this has everything to do with the quarterback moves in Pittsburgh and with that Diontae Johnson trade. And Johnson leaving, that opens up about 7 targets per game. That's what he had last season. So that should help Pickens, Freiermuth, and to a lesser extent, Warren. That's why I'm including him here. But you can't discount the quarterback upgrade that's coming in Pittsburgh. And I believe them when they say that Russell Wilson is expected to be the starter and begin the year that way. I think the lack of interest that we saw in Justin Fields around the league, I think that's pretty damning. So I do see Russ as the week 1 starter, but Fields can still be that long-term option for the Steelers. It just might benefit him to sit and watch a little bit, kind of regroup, learn the culture in Pittsburgh, learn the system in Pittsburgh, and then go from there. And if Russ struggles, Fields can come in with no pressure at all to be the savior for the Steelers. And Arthur Smith being the OC there, I know that complicates things, but Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky, they were really, really bad last year. So was their former OC, Matt Canada. So I don't think it can get worse. Maybe I'll eat those words down the road, because we know Arthur Smith can be very, very frustrating at times. But I expect that this offense is at least going to be competent with the new personnel there. And when you add in Diontae Johnson being out of the picture, it's a net positive for Pickens, for Freiermuth, and I think Warren's going to pick up some extra targets because of it as well. And that makes Pickens a low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3 for fantasy. Freiermuth, he's in that tight end 2 with upside conversation. I think he could even push for a spot as a low-end tight end 1. And then Warren's a compelling RB3 with some upside as well, since we know Arthur Smith not afraid to use multiple backs. Now, another team not afraid to use multiple backs, that's the Bengals. And I have Zach Moss down as a riser after free agency, because there's a lot of ways that this could have gone for him. Most would have ended with him being just a strong backup somewhere like he was for the Colts last season. But instead, he finds a starting gig in Cincinnati and he can be the Joe Mixon in this offense. It's not going to look quite the same, but Moss, he got it done as the Colts temporary starter last year at the beginning of the season. And just the fact that he landed in a spot where he's the favorite for early down work, he's the favorite for goal line carries, and I project that this is going to be a quality offense. Joe Burrow back healthy, we figure that Cincinnati is going to be able to score quite a bit. And yes, Chase Brown is going to be involved. And yes, they could draft another back, but Moss is going to have a shot to be the guy for the Bengals. And that boosts him up into the low-end RB2, high-end RB3 range of my rankings. And we might as well talk about the guy that he's replacing in Cincy, because Joe Mixon, he goes from cast off after the Bengals are going to get rid of him and all the reports are that he's just going to be cut, back to starter and a potentially very interesting fantasy starter less than 24 hours later, after the Bengals decide that they can get something for him in a trade and they trade him over to Houston. And with the Texans, he is the unquestioned lead back. in one of the better young offenses in the league. And the Texans showed a real willingness to feed their lead back touches last year. That made Devin Singletary a decent RB2 for fantasy down the stretch. Mixon has a good opportunity to just pick up where Singletary left off. So Mixon, sort of a shocking riser after that roller coaster week that he went through, but somebody that I think is a very solid RB2 with an RB1 ceiling in that offense. I'm also putting his teammates here, CJ Stroud and Dalton Schultz. I think they belong on the risers list because Stroud, he gets his full complement of weapons back. We weren't sure if that was going to happen. We knew Nico Collins, Tank Dell, they were going to be there regardless, but the Texans go out, they re-sign Dalton Schultz at tight end. They bring back Noah Brown, their third wideout. So at worst, Stroud's going to have the pieces that he had last year. But it was rumored that the Texans were in on the Keenan Allen trade market too. So don't rule out that they could draft or they could sign somebody else at receiver and continue to get him more weapons. Either way, Stroud's not going to miss a beat in 2024. And Schultz was really at risk of falling down the rankings if he signed somewhere else. But a return to Houston, that keeps him in the low-end tight end one mix, so he's a riser moving forward. Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram on the Jags. I went over them in detail last week, but the departure of Calvin Ridley, you combine that with the arrival of Gabe Davis, not really a big threat, or at least not as big of a threat as Ridley was to their targets, so that bodes very well for Kirk and Ingram, who I project that they are going to just lead the way now in this Jacksonville pass-catching core. So Kirk, a fantasy wide receiver 3 with wide receiver 2 upside, and Ingram looking like a very solid mid-range tight end 1 for fantasy. And I don't really want to say this next one because I don't really believe in him as a player, but Will Levis definitely has to be considered a riser. You know, not only did the Titans go out and get a better offensive mind in Brian Callahan, but they added to their weapons, right? And now that gives Levis a receiver trio of Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, and Treylon Burks. You have a decent pass-catching tight end in Chigakonkwo, and you have not one but two of these interchangeable explosive backs who can also catch the ball in Tony Pollard and in Tajay Spears. So really, no excuses for Levis at this point, but I still don't love him as a fantasy asset, even though, yes, he has to be considered a riser. Now, a lot of risers coming out of the AFC West, and we'll go to the defending champs first. Not that they needed to get any better, but they did. They added Marquise Hollywood Brown as their second receiver. That is scary in real life for all the other teams in the AFC and the teams in the NFC who are eventually going to play them in the Super Bowl. But it makes Marquise Brown a boomer bust wide receiver 3 flex for fantasy. He's going to be a dangerous field stretcher, and he's getting to play with Patrick Mahomes now. He's going to be able to take advantage of that. And somehow, Mahomes is also a riser here, since at one point last year, he was throwing to a fairly no-name receiving core. That was at least until Rashee Rice broke out. And I know Travis Kelce, he's the true top target there. You could really consider him the wide receiver 1 in that offense. But having another legit option like Brown is just another thing going Mahomes' way. So Brown and Mahomes, they're winners there. I'll also give a nod to Isaiah Pacheco as a riser because the Chiefs just didn't feel the need to invest in another running back, even as a backup. So maybe they'll do that in the draft, but Pacheco, the unquestioned starter in KC, and a high-end RB2 with RB1 potential if they don't add anybody of note. Next here, there might not be a bigger riser than this guy. That's Zamir White on the Raiders, and we had to wait to see what Josh Jacobs was going to do. Was he going to stay in Vegas? Was he going to leave? Well, he left for Green Bay, so that puts White in the driver's seat now to be the Raiders' lead back in 2024, especially since they signed Alexander Mattison, who really shouldn't be a threat to him, right? So White's still going to have to survive the draft, but you think back to last year, he got that 4-game audition at the end of last season. He performed very well over that stretch, 457 yards from scrimmage, was the RB13 and half PPR fantasy points per game. So he's in that Zach Moss range as an RB3 with RB2 potential. And that's if the Raiders don't draft anyone significant to join that backfield. I'll include two of his teammates as well here, Davante Adams and to a lesser extent, Jacoby Brissett as risers, because they brought in Gardner Minshew. That at least guarantees slightly better quarterback play than what they had last season. I mean, either way, what's going to happen here is they're either going to move up in the draft and take somebody early, and then you can get excited about that for these receivers, or they go with Aiden O'Connell and they go with Minshew, and O'Connell actually improves and wins the job in camp, or they fall back to Minshew, who is an above-average backup, but above-average backup quarterback play, that would be better than what they had last year. So at worst, Minshew showed last season, he can feed his top wide out targets. He did that with Michael Pittman. This year, that could be Devontae Adams. So small bumps up for Adams and for Jacoby Myers. Two more wideouts here, this time from the Broncos. They're making my risers list, Marvin Mims Jr. and Tim Patrick. And that's because Jerry Jeudy got moved. So frees up some targets. But for Mims, it also frees up snaps because Sean Payton suggested that Jeudy was the one blocking the path for Mims last year. That's why Mims didn't see the field much. So now Mims is going to get his opportunity. And Patrick, I thought he was going to leave, but he signed a new deal to stick around for one more year in Denver. And I can't not mention Tim Patrick, right? If I get the chance, I got to bring him up on the show. And apparently they do say that they had big plans for him before he got hurt last season. So you have Cortland Sutton as the top dog there. And then Mims and Patrick, they could be sneaky fantasy picks this year if they can get that quarterback situation sorted out. And that's why, at least for the time being, Jarrett Stidham is a riser on my list because Stidham, it's really him and not much else on their quarterback depth chart. So you have to expect that the Broncos are going to make some sort of move, likely draft somebody, but they're picking at 12. The top four quarterbacks are almost certainly going to be gone before then. So not exactly sure what Denver is planning unless they can try to move up. But Stidham, I mean, he has a chance to be the week one starter now, and that boosts his fantasy stock a little bit. It makes him a stash. Just when we're talking about super flex or two quarterback formats, he's never going to be an option when we're talking about one quarterback leagues. And then one more AFC team to hit before we get out of here. That's the Chargers. And not to end on a sour note, but this one could be pretty temporary when I talk about things that could still change with the rest of the offseason still to come, because the Bolts, they got rid of Mike Williams. They got rid of Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler and Gerald Everett. So it's just a complete retooling around Justin Herbert. And all signs are pointing to this being a very run-heavy attack. But at the moment, Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnston are at the top of the receiver depth chart. So their stock has to be pushed up a little bit. But I would be shocked if the Chargers don't add some receiver help in the draft. I'm not convinced they're going to do that at number 5 overall. I think there's a good shot that maybe they could trade back and then take a wide out. But we'll see what happens there. Either way, Palmer, he's had some fantasy success when he has gotten starts in the past. Still more of a number 3 receiver in an NFL offense, so I'm not going crazy to draft him yet. And then Johnston, he definitely had the look of a first round bust last year, so I'm not hopeful for him, but maybe the new Chargers brass feels differently. Either way, I would be looking elsewhere to fill my receiver spots, and then we'll check back with this Chargers offense after the draft and figure out what we think they're going to do here, because there's got to be some more things coming, because there's no way they're going to run into the season with Gus Edwards as their lead back and with Palmer and Johnston as the top receivers, and there's no way they're going to do that to Justin Herbert. But that is all for today's show, so make sure you check out all the content I was referencing over at The Score, all the stuff I mentioned off the top, including those updated Dynasty trade value charts and rankings. Those went up on Tuesday. I'll be back Friday with another episode. We'll go over the NFC risers after free agency. But until then, big thanks for following me on Twitter at Justin Boone. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time.